Thank you, Pastor Roger, for trusting me.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Jennifer. That was well written. Amen. And he is our hope today. Would you say amen to that? I can tell you it's not an easy thing, especially when you're not used to doing stuff like that a lot. But I'm always glad for people in the church that's willing to step up and try and make the effort. Amen. That's how we grow in Him as we have opportunity. That Paul said, he said, I'd have done more, but I lacked opportunity. Amen. So as we're given opportunity, God expects us to step up and to do those things, at least to make the effort and to grow in Him. It is a process of growth. And we were talking in our Sunday school class this morning. Lots of people see people and they think they've got great faith or they're great prayer warriors, and many of them are, amen. But it didn't come because they never ever got up and prayed, or they didn't ever do. It came because they were faithful servants and they entered in and they was willing to do what was asked of them. This morning I'm going to continue just with that theme that Jennifer just talked about. I'm going to continue with hope, and we're going to talk about hope this morning. And the title of my message this morning is just this simple. It's Our Hope, Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible said. Amen. He is our hope this morning. There's a lot of people today, a lot of negative, pessimistic people about everyday life today. And I'm sure if you're out and about or where you work or in any of the convenience stores, doesn't matter where you're at today, you will find that many of them are very negative about the future. Whether it's the future of our nation, the future of the church, many Christians, I hear them talk regularly, some of them, and I just, sometimes it really gets me stirred up inside, because those who should have the most hope and those who should be the most encouraging about Christ and the church sometimes can be the most pessimistic and negative people, amen? And so it just seems like overall to me, there's the majority, there's a general thought of hopelessness in our society. But I'm glad today, amen, just like Jennifer just said, amen, He is our hope today. And you know Pastor Roger well enough to know this. I was having a conversation just a moment before church this morning with some people, and they were talking about how so many people have some situations and problems sometimes in their life. And praise God, I'm glad, you know what, that all of us have had some problems. Since they say we all were sick. Come on. Sin had us all sick to the place that we needed a Savior and we needed a healer and we needed somebody to touch our lives and to help us and to strengthen us so that we begin to grow up into the things that God... But the thing, the greatest that I love about Christ and the hope is when He comes to you and I is that He begins to work in us and through us to change us. Come on. Amen. I never want to lose sight of that in that hope that He wants to change you and I. If you were to define hope, and Jennifer already did that somewhat this morning, but there's all kinds of definitions about hope depending on who you might be reading or what dictionary, or you can go to a lot of sources. But I just want to give you three this morning. And the first one is this. It said it's a feeling of expectation and a desire that a certain thing might happen. Amen. To live, as she already said, with expectancy. You know what? Do you expect good things to happen in your life? Or do you talk more about the bad things going on in your life? Come on. Do you expect next year to be better financially? Are you talking about all the money problems you've had over this past year? Come on, church. It's the truth. So living with a feeling of expectation that what you want's going to happen. The second definition is this, to expect with confidence, to have an expectation but to be confident or to trust in Almighty God that what you're expecting, you know what? Listen, that if you're faithful and if you're on solid ground, that God's going to move and He's going to answer your prayers and He's going to help in your situation. And then the third definition that I want to give you today is this, hopes of vision of better days. It's a hope of better days. It's a hope that things will get better, and in doing so, God will begin to change our present circumstance. Say, if things are going to get better, things have to change. Amen. It's the same way in church. It's that way in our lives. It's that way at our jobs. You know what? Listen, if things are going to get better ever, you know what? There has to be some change take place of where you and I are at right now in our lives or in our kids' lives or our grandkids. Makes no difference. Amen. But we have to trust that God's working to help make things better. Against a background, listen, of negative pessimism, I guess I'd say, Jesus offers real hope to you and I today. He is real hope today. There is no other hope today. I tell people, you know what? I'm like Paul. If we had to live just with this life only, all people would be most miserable if we had no hope, church. But I'm glad today that we do have hope, and that hope is in Christ. Listen, there is better days ahead. Amen. If you know Christ, or today if you're going through situations and you don't know Him, if you'll give your life to Him and walk in obedience to Him and you'll trust Him, I can assure you today your life will get better at some point. You're going to have to trust Him in the situations and in the circumstances. Amen. I might be able to see something with my eyes. Listen to me. But there's no real faith sometimes we know in doing that. It's that God has to give me a vision, amen, and revelation of the Word of God and living for Him that I begin to realize, you know what? As He reveals things to me and as I see things in the spirit realm, things begin and He helps me to grow up. Listen, you know what? Things begin to change and things begin to change in your life and mine and things do get better every day. People use that small, I'll say powerful word in a way, magical word, if you would, of hope. Our world, you know what? I'll hear people talk about hope and then the next very breath sometimes, very negative about hope. Amen? Hope's what helps us to make it through those tough times. But people have hope they talk about hope in a lot of ways in this way. Well, I hope I get that job. I've heard people say that many times. I've had them say to me, Wayman, you know what? I put in for another job and I hope I get it. Pastor, would you help me pray about that? Amen. Or I hope he or she will marry me. Amen. I get tickled at sometimes. People sometimes get like little kids when it comes to getting married again, you know, or even the first time. Well, you pray, I hope they'll marry me. I hope we can buy that house. We hope I hope I can get a new car. My car's about to break. I hope all of our children are healthy and don't go through some of the things that I went through in my life. Amen. I hope that as I walk with God and life begins to change, I hope I'm a person that can make a real difference in the world. I mean, we use that word all the time regularly, probably more than most of. I hope, I've heard this already, I sure hope we have a good Christmas this year. I hope Christmas is better than it was last year. So Jesus, He offers us real hope today. And He offers all of mankind as if we would enter into relationship. And as we enter into relationship with Him, listen, He gives us opportunity to learn how to love Him more and to love one another and humanity more. Amen. That's how we make a better life, is when we enter into that love relationship. His desire is to bless mine and your life abundantly, church, over the top. Amen. Better than it's ever been before. Amen. To begin to turn things around where at one time I thought they'd never get better. He said He's working. You got to leave that word in there. He's working all things together for mine and your good this morning. You know what? I don't care what your circumstances are in your life. Take it from Pastor Roger. I can assure you of this. If you'll trust God, He's working things for your good right now. I don't care how bad they are. He wants to do that. In fact, look at John 10 and 10. Very familiar. I've read it many times. Jesus said these words. He said, I come that they might have life. And that they might have it what, church? More abundantly, in abundance, over the top, amen? Better than it's ever been before. More life than I even need, amen? On a daily basis, that He'll increase very life in my life and yours. It's a wonderful thing to know this, though. It's nice to know that abundant life never ends either. I love that about God. You know what? When we know Him and we enter into a relationship, you know what? I'm glad to know that this ain't even the best life I'm ever going to have. Though I will say this, I enjoy life and most of the time I give God praise because my life is good even sometimes when I go through hard things. It's very blessed, and I give God praise for that, church. But you know what? Listen, we can have abundant life and everlasting life, and knowing, you know what, no matter where you're at today, or your kids or your grandkids or the situation and circumstances in your life, you know what? He gives you abundant life that'll never end, that'll just get better and better someday. Amen? It's based on His promises, church. And Jennifer already said this too. How many knows He's never, ever failed to keep a promise? Amen? God keeps every promise that He's ever made to you and I. Amen? In His Word, look at John 11, 25 and 26. Jesus, 25 says this, Jesus said unto her, it's talking about Martha when Lazarus has died. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead. You know what? Listen, that's when you were in sin. That's when you were lost. That's when you didn't know him. Whether you know it or not, you were dead, because we're dead in our sin, so to speak, church. If we die there, listen, you know what? Then that's what we did. We just lived and we died and we're no more as far as life is concerned. Because he said, I'm the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me, I love this, say abundant life, shall never die. Believest thou this? Listen, it's most of it's tied to just what you and I are going to believe and what we're going to receive of His Word, amen? And what we're going to walk in, amen? We've got to not just be hearers of the Word, but I talk about it all the time. We've got to be what, church? Doers of the Word. That's why I appreciate these ladies that are going to step up and help, amen, with Advent this year. I'm glad today, listen, we live in a changing world, don't we? I mean, it changes fast. I catch the news at least once a day, most of the time, the world news. And I'm always amazed just how fast, just in a matter of minutes sometimes, how the news can change and things can go from good to what looks like, you know, you never know from day to day. We live in an unsure world. And sometimes it can go from good to just makes you wonder if so many things will even exist comes tomorrow sometimes. That's how quick it changes. But I'm glad in a world that changes and changes quickly, you know what? Listen, you and I serve an unchanging God, amen, that we can stand on. And He's steadfast, amen. He's unshakable this morning, amen. Everything might shake me and you. And we may be going through a lot of things today. But if we know Him and we'll hold on to Him, church, listen, He's steadfast and He's forever. And I'm glad of that this morning, and so's abundant life. Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah 40 and 8 wrote these words. He said, the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever, church. Amen. I'm glad today we can stand on His Word. We can trust it. I told my Sunday school class this morning, listen, we got to be convinced not just in our mind about Christ and God and the things of God. Amen. We got to be convinced in our mind and in our heart to the place that we totally trust His Word, church. That's real faith this morning. That's how we develop real hope, is when we do that and we get on steadfast ground. He never changes. That's hard for us to get our mind around that, isn't it? Because we change. Again, daily we change. We change our mind about the things we like to eat so many times or what we're going to do. I was thinking, Mark told me this morning they had a situation they planned to leave right after church today to go to New York. But just overnight, things changed. Amen? And they had, he told you, the death in the family. But things change, but He never changes. Hebrews 13 and 8 said that Jesus Christ, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, church. He never will change. Say this with me this morning, because I want you to get this in your spirit today. And it's just, listen, real hopes about this. It's not a feeling. I thought about that when I read those definitions. The first thing it said it's a feeling. No, it's not a feeling, church. It's not. Listen to me. God's got a different definition. I'm going to tell you what real hope is. It's a person. I said it's a person. Amen. And His name's Jesus. Amen. And that's real hope today. Real hope is Jesus Christ. To the Christian and to the believer, solid ground, steadfast ground, unwavering ground is Jesus Christ. He's our real hope today. It's not a feeling. Amen. Say that with me. Say hope's about a person. Come on. Jesus Christ. Say it again. Say hope's about a person. Jesus Christ. One more time, say hope's really about a person. It's Jesus Christ. Amen. That is hope today. Amen. The vision for a better future. Listen, it's not based on wishful thinking, church. It's based on Jesus Christ this morning. Or even our faith in the future. Listen, it's based on Jesus Christ this morning. Amen. It's based on every promise in God's Word today that He made to you and I. Amen. And sent His Son that we could be saved. Amen. And then fulfill the Scripture through Him. Amen. Faith and hope. This morning it's about a person. The biblical word for that person's the Messiah. We know that. But in Jeremiah 33 and 15, listen to what the prophet wrote. He said, "In those days and at that time, I will cause the branch of righteousness." Oh, this is good stuff. You ought to circle those words in your Bible if you got your Bible. If not, and you got the handout, go back and circle those words. "I'll cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David. And he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land." Now you might ask, some of you might say, well, what's that mean? I'm going to try to do my best to tell you. Amen. Throughout the whole Old Testament, we know that the greatest king written about and considered the greatest king, amen, was David. David was considered, and listen to me, because here's some hope this morning too, when we talk about imperfections or things going on in our life. If ever there was somebody that had flaws and hang-ups and some problems about a lot of things, listen, it was David, and we know that he was an imperfect man, the Bible says. Amen. And he didn't do everything right. But he was a real warrior for things that were right sometimes, and real justice. And the Bible says, as a matter of fact, listen, we know, says he was a man after God's own heart. And yet David had all kinds of flaws in his life. Amen. And so toward the end of David's life, though, and the Old Testament, we know that God kept His promises. In fact, God keeps making promises. And He keeps making promises to people, and He keeps making promises, amen, toward David throughout his lifetime. And He said this, He said, "I'll raise up a king like David." But say, you know what? The king that He's going to raise up will be much better than David. He's going to be a king, listen, of righteousness, amen, without the flaws and without the problems. And I think about, you know what, listen, when we come to the King of Kings, church, I don't care how many flaws you got. I don't care, you're not unrighteous enough that He can't make you righteous. You're not flawed enough today that He can't help you right where you're at and do great things in your life if you'll trust Him this morning. So He said He's going to raise up a king greater than David, and He'll rule My people. And His king will bless the entire earth and everybody on the earth. Amen. Jeremiah 33 and 16, the last part of that scripture, said this. Said, "This is the name wherewith she shall be called." Listen, you ought to circle the middle word in this statement. "The Lord, our righteousness." I'm glad today that, you know what, listen, that it's not based on how good I am, church. I'll never be good enough, and neither will you. How many right things you do or you haven't done. You know what? It's not based on that. That's why He sent Christ. Amen. He said, you know what? The Lord, our righteousness. He's our righteousness this morning. You're only right and do right things today because of Him. And any good thing that comes out of you and I, it's only because of Him. A righteous person, listen, is somebody that lives totally right. That's what a righteous person is. I mean, they don't have flaws, and they don't make mistakes, amen? But God said, you know what, in His Word said, we know there's none of us that are like that. He said, none of us are righteous enough. Come on. You'll never be good enough. Your kids, listen, if you're looking at them with your natural eye, and they don't know God this morning, you know what, they're never going to be good enough. Sometimes even when they're saved, especially in the beginning, sometimes they're still not going to be good enough to suit us as a parent, or what we would think we would like for them to be, amen? But the Bible clearly tells you and I, you know what, listen, you're not righteous enough, and I'm not righteous enough. But that's why he sent Jesus, amen, to become our righteousness for you and I, amen. See, we only get it right sometimes, don't we? Even as a pastor, I tell you all the time, listen, I do my best, church, and my desire is to please God. But all of us sometimes still have some flaws in our life and we fall short, the Bible said, of the glory of God, amen. So it doesn't help us one way or another how hard we try to be righteous and so good. Because you know what? We're never going to reach that point. We'll never reach the point where we won't need Him. He will only be mine in your righteousness. Amen. None of us can get it totally right, church. Amen. You know what? When we accept that, there's some freedom in that. Hello? When we quit looking at people in the church and thinking, you know what? Boy, if they only knew the Lord like I know Him. No, get off of that mess. If they just look to the Lord and realize, you know what, He's my righteousness, if I got any at all. And if I'm going to do right things and things are going to get better in my life, it's only because of Him, amen? Listen, this branch, the promised one, if you would, the Messiah, the one they called the Lord our righteousness, He's the one that'll get it all right. He's the one that made it all right. He's the one that'll make mine and your life all right, if it ever gets to the place, and it will if you're a Christian, because He said when that which is perfect has come, you know what, then you and I will be like Him. But in this life, listen, I'm trying my best to be like Him, but I'm not like Him, church, and neither are you this morning, amen? He'll be the only one ever, the only person that's ever been fully righteous is Jesus Christ that walked on the earth. Amen. He was without sin, the Bible said. Amen. And that's what leads us to what we call the gospel, the good news. Amen. And that's what we look forward to, is to try to be like Him and to walk like Him and to act like He act and to treat one another, amen, like He treated other people. That's what we need to be as Christians. The New Testament declares that when Jesus, listen, the Lord, our righteousness, died on the cross. He took mine and your sins at that time. Listen, for He ever knew that I was on the earth. Well, He knew in His mind. I don't mean that in His foreknowledge. But I'm saying before I walked on the earth. You know what? He already knew that He needed to be mine and your righteousness. He already knew we needed a Savior. Amen. And it said He took it on Himself. What did He take on Himself? He took on Himself all of mine and yours, all of our unrighteousness, all of our sin this morning, church. Every fault that you and I have, listen, was put on Him at the cross, amen? And He exchanged, listen, He exchanged our unrighteousness for His righteousness, amen? And He gave you and I eternal life and the opportunity to change as He directs and leads our lives. Amen. We actually received His righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5, 20 and 21. See, the problem is sometimes though, church, listen. We in the natural, no matter how much we try to be righteous, we falter and we fail. And when we do that, listen, I know there's eternal salvation. People believe in eternal salvation. And I do. I believe we're eternally as secure as we'll be if we're chasing after God and doing things God says. But let me read something to you here because I think it's important that we get our mind around this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 20 and 21, and I want to read it from the King James, then I'm going to read it from the NIV, and then I'm going to read that same verse from the New Living Testament because I want us to get our mind around that basically every version you're going to read is going to say the Scripture just like whatever version you believe in, pretty close. There's none of them that vary much on these Scriptures. Listen to these Scriptures. Watch the screen. Now that we're ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled or restore your relationship. Listen. Why would He tell us to restore our relationship if it could never be broken or it couldn't be violated or it couldn't be separated in any way at all, church? He tells us to be reconciled to God, to make peace with God. See, some people, listen to me, some people don't get from God the things they want, listen, just because they won't make peace with God. God wants you just to reconcile yourself to Him and make peace. Now watch verse 21. For he hath made him, talking about Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And then from the NIV version. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through you and I, through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, be restored to God, make peace with God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Say, without him I can't ever be righteous. And now the New Living Testament. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Listen, our hope is in restored relationship this morning with Jesus Christ. It's in, you know what, recognizing, you know what, look, he died to take all my sin, amen? But here's the thing, the scripture also tells us, amen? It says that, you know what, that if we willfully sin after coming to him, you know what? There's no covering for that sin. Talking about the sin that I willfully committed. Listen, we repent, we reconcile to God, and we make peace with God after that, church, and continue to do that throughout our lifetime. Sometimes we just separate ourselves where we have no peace inside. Amen? We do those things that we know and walk in those things that we know sometimes are not pleasing to God, even though we know he's... Look, he's always willing and he's ready and he's able, amen, to take those things. If I don't have peace, it's definitely not his fault. He's perfect peace. The Bible said he keeps them in perfect peace whose mind stayed on him, church. So this morning, listen, the way we get from God, the way he gives us abundant life and blesses our life, listen, is to restore ourselves to that perfect peace in him. He's always willing, church, for us to come and to give our situations and our problems and our circumstances and our shortcomings and our failures and our problems and all those things to him this morning so that we can live right in and through him. Amen. And to know that he is our hope this morning. 1 Timothy 1:1, and then I'm done. Says this, said Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope this morning. Amen. Look, there's something to be said. I know you all people that are here, visitors, not so much, but you'll learn. You know what? Pastor Rogers had as many faults and problems in his life as anybody. Amen. But what I have learned in my life, you know what, if I'm going to have peace with God, and the only way to ever get help, you know what, is to go to him with those situations, church, and to repent, to make those things right before God so that he blesses our lives. Amen. And he's willing then to work in and through us the way that we desire him to. Listen, but he can't do those things. Look, we can't ever walk in obedience to God, disobedience, I mean, to God. And think that God's going to just continue to pour his blessings out on us abundantly. Church, don't work like that. He wants us to make peace with him this morning. Stand with me this morning. I want Mary to come to the piano for just a minute and to play. He's a great God that does great things. There's no doubt about that. You know, I'm a pastor that more than anything believes in miracles. I believe everybody in this church today, and I mean that honestly, is a miracle. Not just something he's done for us today or even in the last few weeks. But we're miracles of God. Amen. I like there's a song that we used to sing called "There's a Miracle in Every Pew." Amen. Some in me and some in you. That's what the song said. And I want to be a miracle for God. I want Him to work in me and through me. And I know you do too. And it's Advent. I can't think of a better time. Listen this morning. It doesn't matter what your situation is today. I'm not talking about your dirty, rotten sinner. I'm talking about you just disturbed maybe your peace inside. Maybe you find out you don't have the hope today. Christmas season coming up. And maybe you feel like you're on shaky ground or your family on shaky ground today about some things. You know what I can tell you? The Lord Jesus is your hope. He's the one that can help you today. Amen. He's willing. Listen, He's right where you're at today. From the youngest child to the oldest adult, I'll guarantee you He's willing to give you peace today about every situation in your life if you'll give them to Him. Amen. So let's not blame Him ever for the fact that I don't have peace or I'm walking through some of those kind of places. He said, you know what? I've got it here. It's here this morning at Chicago Corner Church. And He wants to give it to you, amen, if you'll give Him those situations and get back to peace. I want everybody this morning just to bow your head a minute. Is there anybody here this morning, says Pastor Roger, you know what? I need that peace inside. I know I'm not walking in that this morning. There's things in my life that's really troubling me and bothering me, and I'll take the responsibility. Is there anybody here this morning that would raise your hand and say, I need prayer, Pastor. Pray for me. I want peace. I see that hand. Amen. I see that hand and that hand. Anybody else this morning? Amen. Wait just a minute. Anybody else this morning? Say, Pastor Roger, I need prayer. Amen. If you care to, I'm going to ask those that raise their hands if you care to. If not, remain where you're at. I'm going to pray for you anyway before we leave here as I pray for the congregation. But if you want to come forward, we'll lay hands on you this morning. We'll anoint you with oil and we'll pray for you that God will touch you this morning. Does anybody want to come forward for prayer this morning? What a great way would be to start off the holiday season. Amen. Would it be have that peace in your life? Amen.
Thank you for listening to our message today. If you enjoyed this message, please let a friend know. If you'd like to contact our pastor, please call us at 765-332-2376. For more information about our church, you may visit our website at chicagocornerchurch.org. Church service is on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. You are always welcome to visit us in person.